This song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant.
Thank you, Arlo Guthrie, for that fun song, Alice's Restaurant. Hi, listener. You've landed here in Foodville. We are here at KXRW 99.9 FM, and my name is Marlise. I will be your host for the next half hour, and this month we have two segments. First, we will visit and tour Paul's Restaurant and the Elbow Room on 16th and Broadway. Monique and her husband Paul and her friend Toby have reimagined this wonderful restaurant landmark, and they've left most of the 70s charm fully intact. It's really neat. Definitely a travel back in time. And the food is a real treat. It's a scratch kitchen comfort food that is beyond delicious. So we'll then chat with Emily. She is the president of the Clark County Food Bank. And she will talk with us about the food needs in our community this holiday season and how we can all become involved. So thank you for joining us here on Foodville. Again, my name is Marlise, and let's go visit Monique at Paul's Restaurant.
Hi, my name is Monique King, and I am here at Paul's. I am the partner here with my husband, Paul Rosenblue. We purchased the business in January, did a bunch of renovations, and opened the restaurant on June 2nd.
Right on. Well, it's adorable in here. What was your vision here?
Well, we have an affinity for diners and I mean, retro, I guess, is a word to use, retro spaces. We like to restore things. We're restorationists more than anything. We don't want to lose what we had from the past. And a lot of times if the wrong person gets a hold of a business, they kind of destroy it and you never get it back. So when we walked into this space, we just fell in love with the wood paneling and the booths and the tufted counter and seating with the mushroom chairs. So, what's
stained glass.
Yes, the stained glass is amazing. And that was made by the original owner, Paul Bell.
Wow.
He hand-did it. So there's a lot of it throughout the building. Mm.
So how long has this restaurant been a restaurant?
Paul's has been a restaurant since 1970. And it has had, we are the third owners. It's had two owners, the original owner, Paul Bell, and then Margaret and John Yu owned it for 32 years, and now we owned it.
And also it's connected to the Elbow Room. Shall we walk back there?
Let's do it.
Tell me about the carpet.
So the carpet in here was actually put in the 80s by the Yus. It's got bubbles on it. It kind of looks bubbly. I love
orange-ish,
it.
Orangish, beige-ish. It's really sweet. Yeah, I love it. It looks great with these curved back sort of spindle chairs.
Yes. We call this the captain chair room. These chairs are original from the 70s, and I tried to replace a couple of them, and they're like $200 or $300 online. I mean, they're super
heavy.
Vintage and wood and...
What about any of the light fixtures? I see a lot of stained glass light fixtures of all kinds here.
Yes, we have a mixture of stained glass lampshades. One of the lampshades in the captain chair room was found by my husband up in the rafters, and we found out that it was an original lampshade to the 1970 opening. We believe that there were several of them throughout the building, but we only found one.
Oh.
And when we had that one, I decided to use that as an inspiration. So I thrifted and vintage shopped the other five that are in this room. It all works, and it goes with the stained glass windows that are in the restaurant and in the bar that the original owner made.
Yeah, I mean, it's stepping into the past. I feel comfortable in spaces like this, personally.
We do, too. That is the love of a diner or a family-style restaurant.
Yeah.
It's comfort food. It's comforting. It's, feels like you've been here a million times and want to come back next week.
That's a great way of putting it. So now we're going to go to the bar. Do you typically consider this to be a separate restaurant, or is it Some people wait here. Oh my gosh, look at those curved booths.
So, well, they're connected. They have different voices to some extent and different hours of operation. We do have a different food program in the bar than the restaurant, but we do also sell cocktails in the restaurant. So they're definitely, you know, connected and intertwined. And in here, you can see that there are many stained glass windows. Mm-hmm. These were all also made by the original Paul. He traveled to Europe in the late 60s and fell in love with all the stained glass that he saw and made these windows for his wife. So obviously we need to keep them.
They're really incredible. They're probably, what, 4x4? They're big. Mm-hmm. And one is a swan and one is a rose and another little dogwood shape, the boat. They're all just gorgeous.
And sunset. And we have this 70s artifacts or artwork of a red velvet painted ship and a big brass wall sculpture, very 70s, and this lampshade that also has ships on it.
I see.
Totally amazing. So this little area of two booths we call our shipyard. The ships are sailing into the sunset.
Very nice. Well, I mean, you have to come see it for yourself, right? We try to give this idea of what it looks like. It's very cozy. I love the dim lighting, and I love, you know, these vintage plaques and beer advertisements that you have on the wall. Those are amazing.
When you first walked in, you did comment on these curved booths.
Yes.
We call these three booths here along the wall our eyeball tables, and because they were these sort of oval, elliptical shaped tables that are original, and I've never seen anything like it.
How was Paul's doing?
Yeah, well, it has been here for 50 plus years, and I'm sure, it's had ups and downs in its business. I think, you know, post-COVID, a lot of businesses struggled. And in my, you know, from what I know, Paul's never really came back after COVID, really the as strong as it was before. It was definitely in need of a reimagining and an uplift. And my husband's approach and I towards food is every single thing here is scratch made.
Wow.
French fries are hand cut. We cure our own corned beef. We cure our own ham. We cure our own Canadian bacon. We use very high quality, never frozen half pound beef patties for our burgers. All of our dressings, Thousand Island, caramelized onion, mayo, everything is made from scratch. So it tastes the way it should taste, in our opinion. And almost sort of that's kind of retro, too, in the sense that in the 70s, everything was handmade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just how people did it. Being a chef, my husband and I are both chef trained and chefs at heart. Obviously, we're restaurant owners now and do a little bit less day in, day out cooking in the kitchen, but we've been chefs for over 35 years each, and you know, we've worked in a ton of places and done many, many things, you know, so it's very food forward, very food important for us to have a voice in that.
Mm-hmm. And how's it going?
Well, we're doing really well. Yeah, it took us a few months to get open. But we've been open just over 3 months, and business is growing, and people are loving what we're doing. We get a lot of positive feedback. On the other note, too, the business was starting to fail as it stood, and we didn't push anybody out. The U's were ready to retire, so it wasn't a hostile takeover.
Sure.
It was a very amicable exchange of ownership, and
hey, it can only be good. I mean, downtown could totally use another cool restaurant. I'm excited.
Yeah. What's not to like about it? And the Elbow Room certainly had a reputation for being, you know, on the edgier side. And a lot of our renovations were in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought on a partner, Toby Maloney, who is a serious, serious bar guy and bartender and author of an incredible bar book.
What's it called?
Bartender's Manifesto.
Okay.
And yeah, he actually won a James Beard Award for the book.
Wow.
And for another bar program that he ran in Chicago. And so we don't want to lose the comfort and casualness and accessibility of a dive bar or neighborhood joint, but we have a pretty serious cocktail program. We love a good drink around here. We do.
And, you know, you're in the right place for it because there are a lot of places here downtown who really do, you know, create a lot. They have great bar menus in this area. So we're going to try something today. What are we going to try?
I think that we should try our shrimp and grits.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been making that dish for over 30 years. So, yeah, let's get that going in the kitchen.
It. Thank you.
Friends of KXRW Community Radio are hosting a community food drive throughout November. With food benefits being reduced this holiday season, your help can make a real difference for local families in need, because food is our common ground. Visit kxrw.fm for drop-off locations near you, or go to fishvancouver.org. That's F-I-S-H Vancouver.org. To donate directly and to see a list of the most needed items. Thank you for helping our community stay strong this season.
This looks amazing. I am sitting here in front of a beautiful bowl of
shrimp and grits. Okay. So it's a pretty traditional southern dish. We just have a different take on it. We use smoked Tasso ham, which is something that we season and smoke here in-house.
What?
And it's just a smoky seasoned ham that perfumes the entire dish. We make grits our way. You know, everybody has a way, but we put a lot of Parmesan cheese, house-made Tabasco, white pepper, a little bit of nutmeg. We saute the shrimp with mushrooms and tarragon and a little bit of Pernod, which is an anise-flavored liqueur, and chicken stock and a little bit of butter. And my husband and I have been making this just for over 30 years.
And why is that? Did you just like find? Did you go somewhere and discover it? What's the story?
I did. The story is the first restaurant that I was executive chef at was called Soul Kitchen, and it's in Chicago. It was in Chicago, and it was a modern New Orleans restaurant. That's what I fashioned my inspiration and the menu on. It was a modern New Orleans restaurant called Soul Kitchen, but it wasn't a soul food restaurant. I am not African American, but I do cook very soulfully, and I have a deep connection to our southern roots, just as far as cuisine and the comfort factor of it. And shrimp and grits is a huge southern dish, just major. So I had a few, and then this is what sort of sparked my creativity to make it like this, and it became a signature dish 30 some years ago, and we've done it at every restaurant that we've had ever since. So Paul's in Vancouver is no different.
It's not something you find here in the area here in Vancouver. Now, I know you can go to Portland and find it a couple of times, but really don't find it around here.
We don't. Yeah, I don't know of any place in Vancouver, but maybe. And, you know, a lot of southern restaurants do it. They think the Screen Door has a version of shrimp and grits for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's in a tomato-based kind of sauce, and we just do it a little different. No tomato in ours.
Well, and I love the fact that you smoke your ham in-house. Is there a smoker outside, or where is that? Is it a special room here in the restaurant? Or
we do this just stovetop. Don't have a smoker currently. We do have a smoker at our restaurant, Cindy's, in Los Angeles, and we have an extra one down there. So we're thinking of renting a truck and driving it up, and then we probably would put it in the back alley, or we have a little breezeway between the buildings, and maybe we'll smoke out there.
Fun. Well, then you're going to have, everyone's going to be coming over.
Smell-o-vision.
This is absolutely gorgeous, and I have to, you have to have some too. Oh my gosh. Well, a lot of times you think shrimp and grits, oh my gosh, it's so heavy, it's greasy, it's this, it's that. This is not like that at all. It's got a brightness to it, a lightness to it.
I think the smoke is great. The tarragon really brightens it up, and the scallions, I think. And the anise liqueur, too.
That's what it is, What inspired you to put anise liqueur in there?
Well, it first started using something called Herb Saint, which is the spirit of New Orleans. Okay. And it's very much like Pernod. It has, I don't think, 98 herbs and spices in it. But it has a similar flavor to Pernod or absinthe and, I don't know, and tarragon. It mirrors the flavor, the anise flavor of tarragon.
This is amazing. Thank you. Wow. Do you sell a lot of it?
We do. We do here. It took off. People, it's probably our number one selling dish.
Wow. What's number two?
Well, we make great pancakes. Mm-hmm. Love our scratch-made pancakes. We make an incredible thick-cut French toast we use a baguette, actually. And we have vanilla and orange zest in the batter. And oftentimes it's ordered with flambéed or caramelized bourbon bananas on top, kind of like a Bananas Foster type thing. So that's incredible. We cure our own corned beef. Mm. So our corned beef hash and our corned beef Reuben, our Reuben sandwich is also incredible.
Okay, so, and then after the shrimp and grits, Monique gifted me a piece of banana cream pie. I have to know all about this because it's a scratch-made pie, correct?
It is. All of our desserts are scratch-made. We do banana cream, which is my favorite just because I love banana cream pie. But our super signature pies are a southern lemon pie. Mm. And that is a lemon curd with whipped cream on top and a saltine cracker crust.
What?
So it's
never heard of that.
Salty and sweet and citrusy. It's really incredible. It's a post-World War II recipe. When rations were in place and milk and butter and flour and the commodities were really challenging to come across. So the original recipe is crackers, saltine crackers, which I guess were easier to come by, lemon juice, which maybe you could just get lemons off a tree, and no eggs, condensed milk.
Oh.
And maybe an egg powder or something that would solidify it, or maybe even cornstarch. I have no idea. But it had no fresh things in it, really, okay, except for the juice. But it made a pie. It made what felt like a total luxury. Mm-hmm. And the condensed milk had enough sweetener in it because I think sugar was difficult to find as well. So it's now been judged and fancied up. So, of course, we use egg and butter and all the ingredients. That has, become a super, super signature pie for us. And we also do a Derby pie, which is a pecan pie with bourbon and chocolate in it. And people go cuckoo for that.
Yeah, I really look forward to watching you blossom. I really do. I mean, this is such a wonderful place. And I'm so glad that it hasn't been torn down. Yeah. It's still here. And it's being reimagined with also its roots in mind and its history in mind. That's a wonderful thing.
We agree completely. It's absolutely who we are in our essence. We love to restore places, bring them back to what they were, or what definitely don't want to tear down a place that's as beautiful as this, because once it's gone, it's gone.
Thank you so much. And do you have a website?
paulselbowroom.com is our website, and we're on Instagram. And
okay.
Yeah, you can find us.
All right. Well, encourage everybody to go and seek you out, but more importantly, to come walk through the door. Thank you so much. This is Marlise with KXRW, and I'm speaking with Monique here at Paul's Elbow Room, and thank you so much, Monique.
Thank you so much for coming in and experiencing who we are and getting the word out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Happy to do it.
Thanks so much to Monique and her team. Totally encourage you to go over there, have a nice meal, have a nice cocktail, step back in time. Really fun to see what they've done with the place. We're going to move into our time with Emily Straw, who is the president of the Clark County Food Bank. She's going to talk about some of the needs that we have here in Clark County and how you can donate, how you can get involved. And before we go into that, though, I'd just like to remind you that the Friends of KXRW are hosting a community food drive. You know what? Throughout the month of November, food benefits are being reduced, and some of your help can make a real difference for local families in need. Just go ahead and visit KXRW to find out where some of those drop-off sites are. You can go to fishvancouver.org as well. That's fishvancouver.org. You can donate there directly, or you can see a list of things that are really needed. So thank you so much for looking into that. You know, food is, as Emily's going to say, it travels on love. And my name is Marlise with Foodville. Here is Emily.
Yeah, so Clark County Food Bank focuses in Clark County, and we distribute about 10 million pounds of food throughout the year to 50 nonprofit partner agencies, and that food is distributed in 130 different locations in the community. So that's how the food gets to the people where they need it. One of the ways that we reach many people is that we don't do everything. We partner with really good people who are connected in their actual communities with the people that they serve. And so we just resource them by giving them food, sometimes funding, sometimes education, but we think of ourselves as the resource before that step where the client goes and gets food.
Mm-hmm. And how do people find these locations throughout the city?
Yeah, we have on our website, we have what we call a food finder. So right at the top bar, when you go to the clarkcountyfoodbank.org, there's a Get Resources button, and that's where people can access all of those food sites that I mentioned, and they can filter out the time of day, their location, and try to find what really suits them best. Or they can sign up for SNAP through us. We actually do SNAP enrollment, or we have some other programming to address the root cause of hunger that they can engage with.
How do people donate or volunteer?
So same website, clarkcountyfoodbank.org, and we have a lot of volunteer opportunities. Volunteers make our world go round here. They over triple our workforce. And volunteers do everything from driving trucks to they're on our finance team and kind of tons of sorting food. So about 4,000 people engage with the food bank every year in a volunteer way at least one time per throughout the year. So on our website, there's a volunteer sheet that shows the different types of opportunities. Or if you don't know, you just call us or email us and we help you find what really fits you best. Same thing for donation. We have, you can donate kind of any way you could consider to give money. But we want to find if there's something that is more motivational to you or more interesting to you or a way that fits your donation style. You can always reach out and call us or email us and we can help you find that. Or you can just donate on the website.
4,000 volunteers, 10 million pounds of food. That is a real need.
Yeah, it's a big operation here. It's community-led, community-supported, and we serve the community. So mm-hmm. Yeah, Clark County is a very supportive community.
What do you say to people who say there are people out there who take advantage of the program or maybe they don't need it?
I think people, you can jump to conclusions for sure. And I think the people that we serve about 148,000 people in Clark County throughout the year. So that's kind of that's a big number. And so we serve anyone who needs food. And sometimes people really need food temporarily. We had someone come in just the other day and they said, oh my God, thank you for being here. I lost my job. I only had to come here a couple times, but you helped me fill that gap before I got my other job. And then we have people who are really need food for a longer period of time because of their life circumstances. And so that's, 148,000 people, each of them have a unique story for why they might need food. People do think, why might that fancy car be here? Or, what other thing makes me question if they need food? And we're a part of a Feeding America network. And many years ago, they looked across the nation and said, who's really abusing the food system? They found out not that many people because truthfully, it's not a fun resource to abuse. It's not money. It's not flashy. And you can't really sell it. So if you take too much food, it kind of rots in your house. And that's kind of the end of that. So there's not a lot of abuse. It doesn't mean no one has ever abused the system, but it's not a chronic issue like it is in some other resources. So we're kind of lucky that way. We get to trust people. We get to give them food. And we get to celebrate that when we do.
What a wonderful feeling, to help your fellow human to have food and their family.
Yeah. We often say love travels on food. And I think so many of us, I haven't met a person yet who doesn't have an intimate story with food, where they remember it at their birthday or their thing that their mother made or something from their home country that they never get to eat. And so food is a really fun thing to give away because it connects people in so many meaningful ways.
What are some of the foods that people enjoy the most?
That is a hard one. It would really depend on the person. One of my favorite, I've been at the organization 9 years. And so Many years ago, I helped start one of our food pantries that we opened, and someone came in. It was one of the most poignant stories I've had here, because I didn't know her super well, but I saw her, you know, when she came in, and she told me, you know, hey, I was thinking about you this weekend. So I said, oh, and she said, no, truly, my kid is 13, and they've never had a friend over to my house because they've been embarrassed. We're mm-hmm. food insecure, and our house isn't the nicest of their friends, so I never get to know their friends. But you guys had Halo Top ice cream, which is like a protein ice cream. Mm-hmm. And I brought it home, and they had friends over. And so I got to meet my kids' friends for the first time because they could share Halo Top ice cream. And that was just so impactful in, one, the power of food, and the way that that will impact that child and that mom and their ability to be involved in their life. And it was all over something that we would never purchase here. It'd be really expensive. It was a donated product. That many people might think, oh, a food bank shouldn't give out ice cream. And you're like, no, it's really a bigger story. So I think that that kind of thing happens really frequently, where maybe that was that person's favorite food at that time.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how much stigma is surrounds food and food insecurity.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And it's been interesting hearing people say, wow, we didn't know over 60,000 people in Clark County were on SNAP. We thought it was all these unemployed people. You're like, no, it's mostly employed people, actually. and it's not bad if you're unemployed because you have a life circumstance. But there's a lot of myths out there about why people might need food, what they need food for, what they need SNAP for. And so it's been an interesting time to kind of help re-educate some folks in that way.
And how would you re-educate someone about that?
Yeah, I mean, I went to grad school for mediation. You think a lot about curiosity. In mediation, like, how do you solve this? It will bring curiosity. And I would recommend that people do that. Your neighbor might be in a really bad mood, and you might think, my neighbor's not on SNAP. Well, they might be. You don't know their whole circumstances. And so come to that situation with curiosity and give them space if they're in a bad mood right now. It's a really stressful time. Or your friend's kid at school might be acting out because they're trimming down their meals right now because they didn't get their SNAP dollars. And give space for that and bring curiosity to that situation. I think there are, like I said, over 60,000 people on SNAP. That's not the 148,000 people that we serve. Many of them overlap. So there are, it's people in your neighborhood. It's your coworker. It's your kiddo's friend. And I think just having that extra curiosity and care will allow you to better understand the nuances of the stories that might bring someone to sign up for SNAP or other food assistance programs.
Absolutely, Emily. I love the idea of staying curious about our friends and neighbors. Thank you so much to Emily Straw for her compassionate interview. I really appreciate everything that the Clark County Food Bank does for our neighbors, and it was really so sweet to hear how Clark County is so supportive and stepping up to the plate for each other. You can go to the Clark County Food Bank at clarkcountyfoodbank.org. And also thank you to Monique and her team at Paul's and the Elbow Room. It was so fun to walk into the past and see the vision of someone who wants to hold on to these beautiful historic landmarks. I would totally encourage you to go down there and have a meal, share a cup of coffee and a piece of pie with your friends, and just go in and have a look around. It was really very fun. Oh, and don't forget the cocktail at the Elbow Room. You can find Paul's Restaurant and the Elbow Room at 18th and Broadway downtown and at paulselbowroom.com. So that's it for Foodville this month. Thank you for joining us here. I'm Marlise. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. And thanks for joining us here on KXRW 99.9 FM. We'll see you soon.